You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Liza. And together we are the Empowered Caregivers. We're here today with Kirsten Norsleen, the program director at Gilda's Club, and Debbie Deutsch. Did I get that one right?
You did.
All right. The patient advocate at Gilda's Club. So typically when we start the show, we like to start by asking, what is your either personal or professional connection with caregivers? So we will start with Kirsten.
All right. So my personal connection with caregivers is that I have been one for friends and family, and knowing how to be a caregiver can sometimes be a really tricky path to navigate. And so at Gilda's Club, we help people to find that their way on that path.
Wonderful. And how about you, Debbie? Have you had any personal or professional experience with caregiving?
Both. I'm a trained patient advocate, so I work professionally with folks who are caregivers, and I've also served as primary caregiver for my husband through a cancer diagnosis, as well as my mother.
Okay. Wow. Well, thank you for your service, you guys.
Yes.
Can you give us an overview of what Gilda's Club does? I mean, I have a general sense they help people that are dealing with cancer, but I don't really know what that help looks like or what the programming is like.
That's a really great question, and one that we get a lot. And a lot of times the information that people have is actually oddly incorrect. So what we do is provide support groups, education, healthy living activities for anyone with any kind of cancer and the people that care about them. So you don't have to have a specific kind of cancer. You don't have to be, you know, a specific gender. You don't have to be at any age. So any ages, any cancers, any stages of cancer, including grief and loss is part of what we do.
Okay.
And we see this as an excellent supplement to medical care, and everything that we offer is at no cost.
Wonderful.
Wow. And so you have to raise all your funding?
We do.
Wow. That's amazing. When you say that all of those services are available for anyone who's got the cancer diagnosis and whoever takes care of them?
Mm-hmm. That's true. And we serve all of the state of Wisconsin because we are working with facilitators with professional licenses. There are limitations to our service areas, and for us right now it is just the state of Wisconsin.
Gotcha.
But it's a national organization.
It's a national organization. Our national organization is actually the cancer support community. So anybody across the country, you can go online and find the cancer support community and find all of the, you know, your local affiliates or access to helplines and a lot of other resources.
Wow.
And how does Gilda's Club support specifically caregivers?
Yeah, so we have specific, in addition to our regular, you know, mixed bag groups, I call them, or opportunities, being our yoga classes and our yoga and tai chi and healthy living things and art classes and cooking classes. Specifically for caregivers, we have weekly groups that are called our family and friends groups, and they do not have, they're the person that they're caring for does not have to be part of the Gilda's Club community either. So each individual comes in, you know, independently, which I think is really important. You don't have to be attached to someone.
Yes.
Because sometimes people are like, yeah, I don't want any of that. But as a caregiver, it can be so challenging to really know how to best support someone. You think you're doing a really great job, and they're like, I don't want you doing that. Mm. Or you think you're doing a great job, and they're like, look, I really need this instead. And so our weekly groups for caregivers are really fabulous opportunities for caregivers to come and talk to other caregivers about what's going on, what some of the challenges are, to have that really honored, free and clear space to say what they need to say about kind of their lived experience, because it can be really tough.
I can imagine. And are those support groups, are they just open for those conversations, or do you have like some structured, I don't know if I want to say training for caregivers, but you know, the how to do this job that you have no idea?
Good question. So we don't have any structured training as to how to do that, but let me say that our support groups are, they're closed groups, so we assign people to groups, right? Okay. Even though everything we do is free, we do have a few, you know, venues to make sure that the right person is in the right group.
Sure.
Right?
That makes sense.
And because group experience can be so important to connect with people, trust is really important, community is really important, we want to make sure that we have some controls on that. So the groups are really very much free form of what you bring in is what you're going to be dealing with. But we do offer, you know, workshops occasionally. We have a program called Open to Options, which can be a really great opportunity for people to say, okay, so these are the questions that I have and how do I want to prioritize them as they're looking at, you know, changes in treatment plans or making decisions about treatment. Because we think that caregivers are part of that treatment team too. We believe that.
Yes.
And we really want caregivers to feel like they're part of that team. So Open to Options is an opportunity for us to talk about that, and our you know, occasional our workshops that we have can give people like, here's how to ask questions, and here's how to listen. And currently we do have a partners group that is going on that has really helped people to listen to the concerns of their partners in a different way. So
yeah, that's wonderful to have that safe space where you can do that. Knowing that you serve the state of Wisconsin, then are these held virtually, in person, or both?
Well, currently things are held virtually. Everything we're doing is on Zoom, and which has been, for a lot of our participants, has been a real benefit.
Yeah.
Sure.
We have people coming from, you know, three sides of the state and all of Dane County to weekly groups. That is really amazing. You know, I mean, even getting across the county can be a hassle if you have to be somewhere at 6 o'clock.
Sure.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So that has been a real benefit to us. We are moving back into doing some things in person, mm-hmm. and those will be those are based on things that are, you know, more. It's certain people are more vulnerable.
Sure.
Right. And so it's the folks that have less vulnerability that we're including in in-person activities at this point.
That makes sense. And yeah. I was thinking about that as far as the Zoom goes. I mean, you're dealing with a very vulnerable mm-hmm. population.
Yeah.
So do you think once things go back in person, you'll always keep that Zoom option?
That is our plan.
Yeah. Did you have anything that you wanted to add to that, Kristen?
Not specifically about that. I mean, with only a few more minutes before the break, I do want to ask you guys about some of our questions that relate to the theme for this month. So this month we've been looking at the RAISE Family Caregiver Act and understanding that it's federal legislation that's trying to address the caregiver crisis. The overall focus is to raise awareness and improve the experience of being a family caregiver. The legislation proposes to do this by identifying 5 primary goals and outlining 26 recommendations. So there's a lot going on in there, right? It's part of Biden's Build Back Better plan. And we're really excited that we can focus on the family caregiver piece of the RAISE. And so one of the goals is all about how family caregivers need an access to a whole array of flexible stuff. And then there's another one that's focusing on the availability for diverse counseling. Why do you think it's important for the caregivers to have access to their own supports separate from the patient that they're also caring for, right?
So do you want to take this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if you think about a cancer patient and the focus is on the diagnosis and the prognosis and the treatment plan and the symptoms and the med management and all of those things, appropriately so.
Sure.
So the focus is on is on the patient, and that is fantastic. But then the caregiver is immersed in not only those things, but they also, for example, might suddenly be thrust into the role of being the household financial manager. They might have their own health conditions that they're managing. Right. You know, we always worry about how is the patient doing emotionally? Well, how is the caregiver doing emotionally? What kinds of concerns do they have about the future? I can promise you they have concerns. So in a lot of ways, the caregiver is in an equally challenging position as the patient, I would argue. It's a tough role. It's an honor and it's a service to be a caregiver.
Definitely.
It is, and it's hard to just jump in, you know, without any knowledge of how to do this role. You know, it's kind of like a new parent, a first-time parent. What is, you know, what is going on? So that's awesome that you guys have those supports.
Yeah, and I was doing a little research getting ready for this, and there's 53 million caregivers in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a mind-blowing number of people. And, you know, we're talking specifically today about people who are cancer caregivers, right? Mm-hmm. But all of the other caregivers are out there, too, that are really challenged by, you know, how do I manage this complicated care? What is my sense of purpose? Because all of a sudden, people very frequently, all of their focus goes into the patient,
right?
Exactly.
So their self-care suffers. Their their mental health can take a real toll. Anxiety, depression.
Yeah, I've seen some statistics. 40 to 70% of caregivers suffer from depression.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we shared in our introduction. The reason that Kristen and I got into this is we both have young adults with autism and some other intellectual disabilities and things going on. And it was all consuming. Mm-hmm. And we kind of got to the place of burnt out and felt, you know, we can't be alone in this. And we're not. We're among 53 million other people going through it every day.
You have a community.
Yes, we have a community. So we're going to go into a short break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Kirsten and Debbie from Gilda's Club in Middleton address?
It's in Middleton, but it's Gilda's Club Madison.
Madison. Gotcha.
Great. Thanks.